From the Salvador Dali Museum in sunny St. Petersburg, Florida,
welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, we've got some crap news, frankly. Connor and our filmmaker Liam.
Hello.
There you go. We're robbed. Coming home from Europe's largest gravel race, the Tracker. It was a horrific experience for them, and we need your help getting our stolen GCN film back.
We are going to hear from Connor himself, plus there's a normal GCN video as well. Si goes to a bike rave. Yes, I'm surprised as you are. We have footage of Connor leading the bike race, and yes, I'm also as surprised as you are for that. And we've got three exciting new products from Wahoo. Two new head units, and one that's apparently especially for me. This week in the world of cycling, we learned that the first Grand Tour of the year kicked off with the Vuelta Femenina, the Women's Tour of Spain. Lidl Trek won the opening prologue time trial, and then the boss, Marianne Vos, took her first win of the season on stage two.
Now, that is going to be a huge relief for her team because she has proven that you can have a lifetime contract and still win races.
Yeah, unlike Wout van Aert and Chris Froome.
Yeah, fortunately. Joke, but not a joke.
But fact.
Yeah. Joke. Now, we also learned that the new wave of so-called robo-taxis that are being trialled in America could make cycling and pedestrianing safer.
Waymo, so that they can see after a few years of data, its self-driving cars are up to 25 times safer compared to the statistics from normal taxis.
Yeah, that's pretty big, isn't it?
25 times, massive.
Yeah, now it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, really. And now finally this week, we learned that the Tracker, Europe's most prestigious gravel race, can also lay claim to hosting the highest concentration of cycling influencers per capita than any other event.
Among the coloured cycling shorts and selfie sticks there are four legit events too. As you've got a 560, a 350, a 200 and a 100. All were super competitive and attracted some really big riders.
Like Conor Dunn. Yeah, spoiler alert, he didn't win. Although, he was in the lead at one point.
I won't be here for long.
He looked good in the lead there, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Unfortunately, the only other clip of the race we've seen is this one.
Whoops. The day hasn't been out without its mishaps.
Why was he in a field?
Maybe he lost a Strava KOM, I'm not sure. Anyway, answers in the comments section below. Unfortunately, though, that might be all you ever get to see of Connor's race. To explain, here's the man himself.
Come on in, Connor. Okay, Connor, first of all, bloody glad to have you back, mate. Talk us through what's happened, right? So you raced the Tracker 200. You were out there thanks to our mates at Canyon. You just finished filming extra clips the day after, so on the Sunday, and then you're on the way to the airport.
Yeah, I mean, like, firstly, it was a real honour to be at the Tracker. Really, it was so much fun racing the event. It's just a brilliant atmosphere and race.
What kind of cycling shorts did you have on?
Black ones.
All right, so you weren't very cool then?
Yeah, I've never been cool, so look at me, I'm a giant. but yeah, Sunday we like woke up after the race, finished filming a few bits. We went into Drona Old Town. We had some bits we needed to pick up and film. Did our last shot. Packed up and we're actually heading to another shoot in Italy. So we were driving to Barcelona Airport. Obviously, super tired, got in the car with all our stuff, packed up, everything zipped away. Headed to the airport, got on the motorway, literally played like one song on the radio coming down the slip road onto the motorway and just relaxed for a bit. And then everything just happened in just like weird time. Like, it was all just so fast. A guy came up next to us in a car, pointing at my front wheel. And we'd been filming in a rough, gravelly car park. So I was thinking maybe I've got a puncture. And this guy came round me and put his hazards on to slow our vehicle down. So we were slowed down to like 60k an hour on the motorway. And I was like, what's going on? And I went round him and overtook and carried on driving. And he came back again, like really animated. You need to stop. Like pointing at the car, like... Really, it was a nice car, no scratches, new. And I thought, the part of me was like, maybe he's some sort of like undercover cop and he's like, seen my car's got a puncture, he wants to pull me over. I was like, there's only one guy. So I was like, maybe I'll just stop. And if it's a bit weird, I can keep my eye on him. Liam, our cameraman's with us, so there's two of us, we can keep an eye on him. And so he pulled over, stayed in the car, and he came out, like, seemed like friendly enough, and was like, pointed at the wheel, like, come out, you need to see the wheel. And it was like, in hindsight, you feel so stupid. But at the time, I was like, oh, get out and see the wheel. Like, it's one guy. I could see, like, through the back of the car, there was no one else. And so, yeah, we got out and we're looking at the wheel. And then from then, it's just, in hindsight, it was so clever how he did it and distracted us and was shouting in Spanish and over the noise of the motorway. And then he was like, obviously, my Spanish couldn't keep up. So I was, like, trying to piece it together. And then he brought us round the car. I was like, because he was like, oh, I see, you don't understand. Like, look, I'll show you, come here. And he was like, brought us round. So he brought us round to the back of the car. This is all like 20 seconds. And then suddenly he just like left. And we were like, what's going on? And he got back in his car ahead of us. And then we just like got back in our car. And then we saw him throw some stuff out of the window. And we were like, Liam was like, why is he throwing litter out of the car? And then we realised it was our passports and our wallet. And then the penny dropped and we looked back. All the bags were gone, my bag with my personal belongings, entire camera kit, all the cameras, like two camera bodies, all the lenses, brand new drone, the entire film from the tracker, which was in hard drives, in the bag, gone. And I went to like, the adrenaline was going, so I was like, hush. And I went to go after him. But luckily, like there was a part of me that's like stopped. And because he threw the passports, we stopped for those as well. And then it was like, oh, I just need to like stay safe. So we like stopped, got the passports, got my wallet and cards off the ground. And then we're just like in shock from then on.
So the police were involved. What have they said about it all?
So since then, I've learned that this is like a really common thing to happen on the AP7 motorway from between Girona, the French border, and Barcelona. I've never heard of it in my life. I've had teammates that lived in Girona, in Andorra. And so many people, like we've had GCN Espanol who are based in Girona. I feel so stupid, but I've never heard of it. And right. I don't know anyone who's ever heard of it either.
No. It sounds like it's a fairly common thing from what the police told you when you went to the station, that you weren't even the first people that day for it to happen to. So it might be something that you wouldn't have heard in the past because it's a more recent thing that's happening.
Yeah, and I wanted to kind of share it here on the show just to make people aware of it because Girona is a popular place to go by bike. And there's signs on the motorway that we've learned since then that say don't stop.
But you'd only just come on.
I haven't driven this motorway regularly. I hadn't seen any signs, so it just happened so quick. And in my head, it was like it was the police thing, thinking it was like a policeman pulling me over. So I thought I was doing the right thing by pulling over and checking. I've since learned you don't have to stop for an unmarked police car if you're not 100% sure it's not if it's police or not. So the advice is to drive slowly to a police station and stop where it's safe.
Well, I had no idea about that.
Me neither.
Because the motorway hard shoulder is like, you're so vulnerable. No one's there because they're travelling fast past you. It's loud. And yeah, what happens to me can happen.
That is wild, isn't it? So somewhere out there, a couple of laptops, bunch of camera gear, crucially, one hard drive and about 8 memory cards with all the footage it was going to make for a killer GCM film. I don't know how these things work, but I mean, if you live in Barcelona or Girona or something, just keep your eyes peeled. Please let us know somehow if there's any information. Or the police, probably, because they'll be able to do something.
Yeah, so like apparently these guys are part of a really organised ring. We've actually identified the suspect who they had photos of them in the police station. We've ID'd them and officially like witnessed and ID'd. And yeah, we were told there's a high likelihood stuff could turn up because they're just interested in cash. So okay. We actually went on a bit. It's a longer story.
So they're probably not cycling fans.
Well, you know.
Interested in seeing a GCM video before everyone else that's unedited.
So, yeah, if it does turn up, it's a very slim chance, but it would be amazing if we did get our hands back on it. We're in touch with the police. They're looking as well. I actually recovered my keys, my house keys, and some other bits that they dumped later because I had some tracking tags. So we managed to find those from where they had dumped stuff. But, yeah, just, like, gutted, angry, a bit shaken and
Yeah, unsurprisingly. We're all glad that you did end up stopping to retrieve your passwords and didn't go on the chase.
A normal reaction,
I think, when you're feeling that angry and wanting to get your stuff back. But it's obviously a very organised crime ring, as the police pointed out to you, so who knows what could have happened had you caught them up.
Yeah, I think, like, you act like rashly, and I'm just glad that we didn't, and we just stopped. We're both safe, and we, like focus on what was important. But yeah, and then I just really hope it doesn't happen to anyone else out there, and I hope this warns you potentially.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say it's kind of rocked us all here at GCN HQ since we found out what happened to you, Connor and Liam. First and foremost, there was, I think, a lot of sympathy both of them. I mean, it's a really scary experience to have gone through for you both, but then there's that subsequent thought, isn't there, that this could kind of happen to any of us and to any of you out there if you happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, exactly. And that was like my thought actually straight after that. I was just kind of actually glad it happened to me on my own and not when I was with my family or with the kids. And yeah, it's just you start going through the permutations of what could have happened and just, yeah, feel glad we came out of it safe. And
yeah, on a motorway between Barcelona and Girona.
Yeah.
Bonkers. Anyway, yeah, thanks, Connor. Like I say, super, super glad that you guys are both safe. And yeah, I mean, keep your eyes peeled. Really genuinely hope those get caught.
Yeah.
Basically. Right. Thanks, mate. On with the show.
On with the show.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now. And we're going to start with the news that Wahoo have launched a new product perfect for Dan and his inability to turn his head. It's... Yeah, there you go. It's called the Tracker Radar.
Fantastic.
There you go, yeah.
Actually, lots of you in the comments suggested radars last week under the show as a response to me saying it's much harder for me to see behind now that I'm a bit older than I used to be.
Yes, you are not alone, Dan. Clearly, X-Trails said, for example, like Dan, I struggle to look over my shoulder as well. I just can't get my head around it.
Very good. I've tried a radar, actually, in the past, and I wasn't sure what to make of it at the time. But given how many people have been raving about them, and the fact...
Given your mobility issues, is
it? Oh, yeah, and the fact I've got mobility issues. No, not really. Just that I've been out of the game for a little while. I'm definitely going to give it another try.
Yeah, so people, like you say, absolutely rave about bike radars. And it's not, to be clear, for those people with reduced neck mobility. I mean, I think it's people of all sorts who really like them. So for those of you that haven't tried one, basically this very neat little device sits on your seat post, acting as a light. Can I switch it on? There you go. It's got various different beam patterns. So it acts as a daytime running light as well as a nighttime light for visibility. But the radar-y bit is that it detects vehicles approaching from behind up to 150 metres away.
Would it tell me if a cyclist is coming? I need to speed up so as not to get overtaken.
I actually don't know, Dan.
Oh, because you're too fast.
No. Yeah. I don't know whether it detects cyclists. Oh, God, I'm going to need to do some more research now.
I'll have to cut there and get back to you, but I'll carry on in the meantime.
Go on.
It can then display that information about the cars or vehicles coming from behind on your head unit. The idea being that with that information, you can ride more confidently in the road, knowing when you might need to move over or when to go from riding side by side to one behind the other.
Yeah, so the battery on this new Wahoo one lasts up to 20 hours. And it has to be said that, I mean, the device is really neat, isn't it? It weighs just 99 grams, I'm guessing. No, that's what Wahoo said. The light also adapts, which the light is in the beam pattern, depending on if it's detected whether a vehicle is behind you, which I think is really cool. So that would presumably make the battery last longer as well.
I shall give it a go. You suggested it.
Go for it, mate.
Other people decide.
Go on then, happy birthday.
Price for that is $199. Thank you. I will be taking that. €199 or £179.
Yeah. Now, Wahoo have also got two updated head units as well. These were announced a few weeks ago now, but are available for sale. So this is the new updated Bolt and the new updated Roam.
We have got a video on GCN Tech already, but the headlines are that the screens are better, the maps have more detail, the battery life is even longer, up to 20 and 25 hours quoted, and the new Roam gets a touchscreen, plus the audible navigation commands, and even the electronic bike bell.
I wasn't actually sure about it, but it is actually cool. Ready?
Oh, you got a treble ring then. Oh, how are you doing that? I only get a double ring on mine.
So now maybe it's just like sweaty fingers or something.
There yeah, that's probably it.
So you just touch the thingy, the screen, twice.
Really neat. Yeah, is this what you used at your rave at the weekend?
My bike rave?
Yeah.
I did not. No, Dan is referring to the drum and bass DJ Dom Whiting, who has... Basically, he's got a mobile sound system attached to a tricycle, right? It's a really cool story. He started on his own in lockdown, and now when he rides, literally thousands upon thousands of people come and join him. And he happened to be in my neck of the woods, so I went for a Sunday afternoon rave on my cargo bike.
Don't get me wrong when I say this, but you don't strike me as the raving kind of bloke.
Well, have a look. Now, I have been known to dabble in raving. I'm not sure I called it raving before, but, you know.
Discos.
Yeah. If I'm totally honest, though, this one, there wasn't quite enough Tina Turner for my taste.
No. No, shame that size. Did you play any Tina Turner?
No. I was absolutely gutted.
Did you follow the rules of the road?
Well, because it was a sanctioned event,
right.
I don't think the road rules... I think they were temporarily suspended because of the volume of people. So it was like an authorised event. And he did actually, in his little speech beforehand, tell everyone, very sweetly, all 2,000 people to stop at red lights and not ride on the pavement. But
brilliant.
Anyway, I did get your point.
And did you ride like a dick?
No, I didn't. I actually didn't.
Oh, well, that's good then.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure I was.
Right, we're going to move on now to something a bit different.
Did you see that this year's Men's Rift Academy winner, Noah Ramsey, was up there at the Tour of Turkey last week? Not bad.
No.
He lost a bit of time on one stage, I think, didn't he?
He did, yeah. But on one of the very hilly stages, he was right up there towards the front with the GC Rise. I mean, it's not the best field in the world, but for first-year pro, coming from mountain biking, not much experience on the road, very promising indeed.
Indeed, yeah.
On to something a little more sobering now. So some research came out in the last few days that relates to something we spoke about on the show last week. Confirmation, as if confirmation was needed, that SUVs and light trucks will do more damage when they hit cyclists or pedestrians than regular cars do.
Yeah, so this new paper is actually a meta-analysis, so analysing existing research, and it was published in the BMJ, which is a big one, a prestigious one.
One of my favourites.
Yeah, absolutely. The authors, Ella Robinson et al., they found that an adult is 44% more likely to be killed if struck by an SUV or a light truck compared to a car, and a child, 82%.
Yeah, as we said, very sobering, really.
Yeah.
Apparently, much of the data comes from the US, where it's particularly bad, with design standards to mitigate pedestrian injuries lower than those in other parts of the world.
Yeah, and frankly, the cars are much bigger. Yes.
Right, we've now got some news from the GCN shop. As you've well seen, we're wearing some lovely new T-shirt designs.
We are indeed. There's the big bicycle race starting this weekend, isn't there?
There is indeed. Yeah. We've got 5 different T-shirt designs available at shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com. We have, and actually all 5 designs are available in different colours as well. And there's a hoodie.
We've only been furnished with 2.
Well, yeah, but there's... what we'll do is we'll put a QR code on the screen and then people can go directly to that part of the shop because there's a lot to choose from. I'm a big fan of the designs this year.
I really like it.
As you probably also spotted, neither Si nor I have decided to put the pink ones on.
Quite
warm in the studio.
I love pink T-shirts. I think they're super cool. But yeah, long-time viewers of GCN will know that I am... physically unable to wear them whilst filming.
That said, shortly after this, Si and I are going to be filming our big GCN preview for the Giro d'Italia this year.
You're not going to make me wear that.
No, I'm going to put it on.
Whoa, big dog.
I'll take the risk. You can catch that on GCN Racing tomorrow, Wednesday.
I think that's Trecine di Lavaredo, isn't it? The Dolomites. Iconic summit finish, Trecine di Lavaredo.
QR code or the link in the description below or shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com. Right, just to end cycling shorts then, we're going to announce the winner of the Redshift competition. That was to win a set of bars, as well as bar tape, grips, bar bag and a Shockstop Pro stem. So congratulations to...
Chao Zun An!
Well done, Chow. If you've not already been in touch, we will be shortly and we'll get your prizes to you. Hack/Bodge of the Week now. And we'll start with this one from Don't Tell Your Wife. I know I shouldn't call it a hack, sorry. My workshop shares space with the laundry. While waiting for my chain wax to cool, I took advantage of the spin cycle to vibrate all the air pockets out of the links for a perfect wax job.
Well, there you go. I did not know one needed to vibrate air pockets out of links whilst waxing chains. But if that is true and it worked, who are we to argue, Dan?
Well, exactly, yeah. Well, that does sound like another use for a vibrator beyond getting the air pockets out of your disc brake.
Oh, yeah,
cables.
Good point. Probably take a bit longer, wouldn't it? To like every link on the chain.
Oh, you'd have to fully charge it.
Yeah. God. Right, okay, are we giving that a hack?
Well, like you, I didn't realise you'd got any air pockets when waxing the chain, but going with the notion that you do, I'm going to say bodge.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, after a long drawn out thought process there.
Oh my bodge. Goodness, we're like, yeah. I don't know what the rationale is behind that, but
no,
right, let's move
either,
on,
really.
Shall we? David Jones, computer deck for indoor training. I just got a Wahoo kicker and watching a bunch of GCN training videos whilst thrashing myself over the New Zealand winter. Unfortunately, I don't have anywhere to put my laptop, but with my trusty park tool repair stand and a chopping board from the kitchen, I'm sorted. There you go. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Nice looking chopping board, that as well.
It is a nice looking chopping board.
I'm wondering
why
on the laptop.
You can't just manoeuvre the bike around to make use of the desk in the first place. Presumably there's something just behind the camera shot, although given that he stood there taking the photo, it feels like there is enough room. But either way, since I was so harsh with the previous one, I'll say hack.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to say hack as well. Nice towel draped over your bike to save the headset and bar tape and stuff from sweat. We're told to do that all the time, aren't we, Dan?
We are indeed. Nice shot of Hank on the laptop as well.
Yeah, there he is. Indoor training with a hat on, inexplicably.
Bruce Rolfson put no bike box required after a recent 3-day bicycle tour in North Carolina, USA. Riders and bicycles were transported by bus back to the start where our cars were parked.
Nice.
Instead of stuffing our bicycles into the baggage compartment and sort of protecting them with blankets, our bicycles got their own seat. To comply with safety rules, the bicycles were seat belted into place. There was no additional seat charge.
Well, that's pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, as someone who has carried bikes in cars for many a year, I'm slightly concerned about the possibility of oil stains on upholstery.
Mm.
You know, I hopefully the bus driver was cool with the fact that you were putting your 3 days worth of riding bikes.
Put a non-drive side against the upholstery, haven't they?
I mean, yeah. Oil stains get everywhere. Anyway, I like it. It's a hack.
I'll say a hack for that as well. Yeah, you don't want your bike scratched up, do you? Because there's a chance that the blankets won't be put on properly.
But you also don't want oil on your bus seats either.
No, but no one looks after your bike as well as you look after your bike.
True.
Others don't care.
All right, that's a hack then. And then lastly, we've got one sent in by someone that we don't know the name of. So apologies if this is yours. An alternative bar end plug. I spotted this innovative solution to needing a replacement bar end plug in the bike shed at work. I suspect there are a couple of additional discussion points on this image as well. So yeah, I like the cork, that's pretty cool. The sellotape, I'm not feeling quite so much. That's
no,
poor.
I mean, it doesn't look particularly neat, the upper part of the bar, does it, on this photo? There's possibly some new bar tape required. But nothing. I do remember when I was young, not wanting to spend the £8 or whatever it was back then on new bar tape, so I would end up with a situation not quite like this, but it does start to unravel a bit sometimes.
It does, that's fine.
Especially over the winter, you don't want to put brand new stuff on, do you?
No, but just retape it and then don't use sellotape. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a fixable situation. But it does show, doesn't it, that like if you ride road bikes, but you don't really care about riding road bikes, I mean, they're a massive pain, aren't they, really?
What are we saying for the bar end plug? Hack or bodge?
That's a bodge, isn't it? It's not even a champagne cork. It's just a run in the mill.
Yeah. Oh, we'll go bodge then.
Bodge,
sorry.
Yeah.
A couple of bodges this week.
Yeah.
Right, don't forget you can send in your hacks or bodges or something that you've screen grabbed off Instagram by going to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader.
It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you've got to do is put a witty caption in the comment section down below that relates to a photo we'll give you in just 1 second after the results from last week first.
Last week's photo was this one showing the trunk of Tadej Pogacar on the podium of Liège-Bastogne-Liège with a special trophy for winning the race. Our winner this week is Patricia Ed. Caption Competition. Oh, if I get a couple more, I could make a lampshade and send the picture into the GCN show.
Yay!
Very good.
I love it. Thanks, Patricia. For those of you that don't know what on earth we're talking about, for the last 2 weeks, in fact, there's been a lampshade from the Hard Rock Cafe in Amsterdam.
Correct.
That's been submitted to GCN. And it's made up of basically
chain
sprockets, yeah, and clogs, just like that one. So yeah, very cool. Thanks, Patricia, for that one. Get in touch and we will get your what's that called, Dan?
It's called a GCN Camelback water bottle.
That's right, yeah, we'll get one of those sent out to you.
Coveted at the start of that. There you go. This week's photo comes from stage 2 of the Women's Vuelta España, which is on all week. Don't forget, you can watch a full season of bike racing live on Discovery Plus and Max. This is Lizzie Deignan of Lidl Trek, who won the opening team time trial in not controversial circumstances by their standards, but some stuff on the start line. I explained the racing news show today. Anyway, Lizzie Deignan looking down at her head unit, so I should get you started. You might guess what's coming. Everyone, just to let you know, it feels like there's a convoy of cars just behind us, so watch out.
See what you did there?
Yeah.
She's got a Wahoo tracker radar on.
Exactly that.
Yeah, yeah. And the convoy of the cars is like showing up.
Yeah, I mean,
genius.
Took quite some thought.
Yeah, wicked. All right, good luck, you guys. See if you can beat Dan's caption.
Just before we let you know what's coming up on GCN and GCN Tech and GCN Racing this week, a few comments from last week's video, starting as ever underneath the show. Hearing Dan talk about cycling today is what I imagine historic figures would sound like if they returned from the grave to modern society. That was written by Hollow Gravel Classic.
I love that comment. It was me that stuck that in for this week. I think that's brilliant. I sort of imagined you as like a kind of... do you remember in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, when like that Abraham Lincoln that they went and found? I kind of imagine you a little bit like that. Right, Peter Hargreaves France said, why does Dan accept so much stick? His professional career is much more impressive than size. Which is true. Self-deprecation is a very English trait, though, and obviously a theme the channel wants to lean into.
We have leaned into it for well over a decade.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
At this point, haven't we? I mean, in secret, we all think we're absolutely blooming amazing, don't we?
Yeah.
And it's just an act that we put on for the GCN show.
Remind us again where you finished in the Tour de France?
I don't remember. 164th, was it, or something?
I think
it's back in the days where there were more starters, I should point out, than there are now.
Yeah, and but to be fair, your position is improving steadily, isn't it?
Stagnated for a few years, I think. No more recent positive tests from that year's Tour de France. But yeah, it was going up for a while. WSPRNJW, is that an M? Not sure. But Dan, suggest you ride in the rain several times before your big event. If/when the rain falls during your event, you'll laugh at the conditions and press on.
I also put that one in because I thought, absolutely, Dan, you need to do some rain training. That's what you need to do. So
I probably should do, but I'm not going to.
I think rain riding is one of those things where you probably don't need to train for it. You just suck it
just
up.
Deal with it on the
day. Yeah, just deal with it, basically. Chris Scythe said, Dan must have seen a GNC hoodie at the gym. I wore my GCN shirt once and they thought that was from my protein supplements. So that might explain it. Are you sure it was GCN or
it was
GNC?
Definitely GCN. No, was it? I recognised it. We do get that a lot, though, in comments, don't we? Blooming love GNC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, eco biker Z2F, but I've been stopped by the police twice when on a bike, once for exceeding 3 kilometres from my home during lockdown, and once for cycling with a box of shredded wheat under my arm. Carbon fibre and dietary fibre.
Shredded wheat being breakfast cereal, for those that don't know. I just thought that was utterly bizarre. But anyway, fair enough.
Yep.
So yeah, I guess, I mean, it probably is dangerous cycling with a box of shredded wheat under your arm.
I can't. I'm surprised you get stopped for that, but there you go.
Me too. Right, underneath Dan's great video about why cyclists make such awful runners, Swastik the Groot said, I can relate. I'm both an awful cyclist and a runner. So, yes, I thought that was quite amusing. MTB Jason said, I think of cyclists as being built like hydraulic pistons and runners being built like springs.
Oh, yes. I like that comment.
Yeah. I thought that was really good, actually. Yeah, it definitely... I don't feel very springy, Dan.
No, you went in the comments yourself, didn't you, to mention that fact?
Well, I mean, I did think it was interesting when people were talking about... like runners have much stiffer Achilles tendons and calf muscles, and I, would you believe it, in my ankles, they're very flexible, really very flexible. So I have no natural spring whatsoever.
There's plenty of free movement.
A lot of free movement, yeah, which explains a lot.
Nathan Stuyvesant wrote in to say, another excellent video about the running one and cycling. This might be a strange take on the video, but what it emphasised to me, a fan of the entire GCN, GTN, GMB and suite, is that triathlon is truly its own unique sport. It's not just a sport for bad swimmers, cyclists and runners. It requires unique adaptations that the individual sports don't have.
Yeah, I mean, much as it pains me to say this,
no, just average.
It does pain me to say it that triathletes are actually often very good swimmers, very good cyclists, and also very good runners, aren't they?
Yeah.
So yeah, but it doesn't stop them not being able to go around corners.
No, and I think also, going back to the self-deprecating bit, it's just a part of what we do, is just take the mick out of triathletes.
We take the mick out of everyone and everything, most of all ourselves. I think that's always been our mantra, hasn't it? I'm not sure we can take the mick out of Alex for much, though, for his Dirty Reaver exploits. No. So that was the video from Sunday.
We can wait till Unbound, can't we, for that?
Yes, exactly. So yeah, lots of great comments on that one. Sancti Johansa. Oh, Sankt Johansa, perhaps. Alex, you didn't try to ride at the front of the race. You did ride at the front of the race. Chapeau. Woo!
It was a brilliant ride, that, wasn't it? Jonathan Mallett said, Alex is slowly evolving GCN into the gravel cycling network.
Nah. I mean, we like a bit of gravel, but...
Do you like a bit of gravel, yeah?
Like a bit of road, too. And then Peter Treadway said, as someone who makes cycling YouTube videos, being able to keep that pace up and film at the same time and come fifth is an absolutely mammoth achievement. So, it was pretty good, that, wasn't it?
It is an achievement, yes. But I can't help but think it must be slightly aggravating to those around if you hear somebody vlogging whilst you're breathing hard at the front of what is a very big race.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Right, what's coming up on the channel this week? Well, start on Thursday. It was actually supposed to come out last week. You might remember it from the GCN show. How to do weight training. It took us a little bit longer to do that than we were expecting, Si, didn't it? Turns out we don't really know, but we think we got there in the end.
I think so,
the correct technique. And on Saturday, Hank has been off doing some bike packing on a budget.
He has indeed, yeah. He flew out to Spain on a cheap flight, bought himself a cheap bike and went for a cheap holiday, and then sold his bike on the way back. Interestingly though, do you remember when Spain and Portugal and South France lost power? So there's that vast power cut that coincided with Hank leaving the country. Like, I mean, almost to the moment. I don't know whether there was any kind of link there, whether it was just a coincidence, but Hank was in Spain. Spain lost power and Hank immediately left.
Wow. So you have to viewers to decide for themselves.
Absolutely. And then on Sunday, Connor became a bike courier for the day.
He did indeed.
Which I cannot wait to see, because bike couriers are legendary. And I just can't wait to see how he got on, quite frankly. Not saying that Connor's not legendary. Of course he is. But, you know.
Massive legend, literally. and on Wednesday, I mentioned this a bit earlier, but I'll say it again now. The big Giro d'Italia preview show will be up on GCN Racing. Believe it or not, it starts this coming Friday in Albania for the first three stages. So, 3 weeks. First men's grand tour of the season. Should be a good one. Primoz Roglic, Juan Ayuso, the big favourites for the general classification, but plenty of sprinters and other big-name riders there as well. But we'll be going into all of the stages, riders and teams taking part.